Well, joining us in the studios this morning, that man of many keys and many jingles, it's Elias McColl of the UMD Music Faculty. Good morning, Sunshine.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, you and I kind of have to say up front, you and I, our offices are sort of kind of close together, and so we get to hang out and schmooze a lot. And you told me something really cool when you came by the other day, and I said, hey, we need to talk about it.
Excellent.
UMD Music Faculty has kind of a special concert coming up, and I want to say, is tonight Thursday?
Yes.
Is it tonight?
It is tonight.
Okay. Because Pride Weekend, of course, is kicking off this weekend.
Right. The mayor's reception is at the Depot, I think 5 to 7.
Okay.
And the mayor will speak, and it'll be the kickoff for the weekend.
But this music concert, this UMD faculty music concert, is something a little bit different. Tell me about it.
Well, I picked the date because it coincided with the start of Pride, and to just sort of be a part of those opening festivities. And it's the first time that I realize, or at least in my memory, that the Department of Music is sponsoring a recital that features queer-identified faculty.
What does that mean? What does that mean to you, and what does that mean to members of the music faculty that you came together and said, hey, I think maybe we can do a concert?
Well, it's opened up conversations among all the faculty. It's been really lovely. I've noticed that the students are really excited in this first week, have been approaching all of us in the hall, the three of us from UMD Music Faculty that are participating. It's just opened up conversations. I see smiles it's just been a really good thing, I think. It felt a little uncomfortable at first for me, but life at university for all of us is about going out of our comfort zone, even those of us who've been here for a few years. I've only been here, I'm starting my seventh year.
So there was a sense maybe of, I mean, I can think about a time in the university in the time that I've been here where it would have been a lot of furtive little looks and peeks and, you know, oh, goodness, he's gay. That's different.
Yeah.
So it felt safe to do something like this, or it felt appropriate to do something like this. Tell me about what changed.
Well, what has changed is that given what's going on in the world today, we wanted to find out something that's supportive and creative as a way to let folks know about this. One of the songs I'm doing is King and I, We Kiss in a Shadow. And it talks, the text is very much what you said. We speak in a whisper, afraid to be heard. When people are near, we speak not a word. It has that kind of feeling. So it's been very good to sort of feel like you want to be out and about with this kind of thing. I'm not somebody that overtly goes, okay, this is my identity. It's part of who I am. And it's pretty much when you get to know me, if you talk to me, you find out about it. So it's not really, that's how it is for me. And everybody perceives their identity, their gender identity is different. And so now we're in a world where we're thinking about that as it relates to folks who may not identify with the genders that we think they do. I'm changing the pronouns to one of my Carpenter songs. It will very much reflect that. I'm doing Carpenters. That's not my genre, really.
It's not.
No. But my sisters, I've told you this before, my intro to classical music was my sister's recording of Classical Barbara. And they were also
which I adore.
Yes, that's right. And they also love the Carpenters. What? So this was on their Horizon album. And I remember being a 15-year-old boy listening to Love Me for What I Am, for Simply Being Me. But I wasn't thinking of it through that lens.
No,
but,
not at but the time, a different, but okay.
There's a different lens now for me with that tune.
So I remember my aha moment as a straight white person with the privilege and the cluelessness that entails. Some of it is, you know, just naivete, maybe, just not being aware.
Exactly. And I'm unaware most of the time, but I'm learning. That's the process, right? We're getting better.
We are.
Not to every make each other feel bad
and
about
in
not
every
knowing
way,
stuff. That's, oh, okay.
We're getting better and better. Okay. But, you know, the easiest way, the when you have conversations with individuals, they say things to you and you learn things from them. For example, you and I were talking about how there are conversations that people don't have with you on campus, like, how was your weekend? Or, are you seeing anybody? Or the kinds of things that we ask other coworkers. And I remember talking to someone when I first came to the university. That was my aha moment when he said to me, I can't put a picture of my sweetheart on my desk.
Yeah, I mean, we've grown out of that, but there's still this idea that people are uncomfortable. They are accepting. So I haven't really felt that that my colleagues or faculty or students or staff have not been accepting. But with some, there is still an uncomfortability of having those kinds of conversations, like you would, my kids are playing this, or, you know, the kinds of conversations that folks have been having for years and years and years. But it's getting better. And that's what this is all about, is maybe opening up for some of those dialogues and feeling like, okay, be uncomfortable. I was teaching seminar yesterday, and one of the guidelines is lean into discomfort and feel like you're in a safe space. And for teaching, I try to create a space that is safe. I lived in Vegas for a while, so I can say this, but the classroom really is, you know, for me, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
So what happens in the classroom
exactly,
stays in the
classroom.
Exactly,
it's confidential unless it's damaging or you think that it might be damaging to others. But mostly it isn't. And so it's just about being open and creating a safe space for everyone.
So just talk to the people you know. Just talk to them.
Try.
And ask them the same kinds of things that you would ask anybody else. I pry into your personal life the way I do with other people.
Maybe don't use her.
I try to find interesting bits of gossip and stories that I could perhaps use against you in the future. But then I do that with everyone that I know.
Well, that already happens in the media. So
yeah,
we
yeah. Well, and of course, KUMD is Northland Morning, the People magazine of the air. Before you leave, about the other people that are involved in this show.
Excellent. I am blessed and fortunate to have my colleagues go on this journey with me, and Elizabeth Fisher, who is an assistant professor and associate director of choral activities, also runs the jazz vocal groups and is doing some wonderful renditions. Oh, my goodness. Of tunes that people will recognize. This concert is short, and it's mostly light repertoire. And Derek Brame is doing, he's a teaching specialist of trombone, and he also has a very nice voice. So he will be singing Taylor the Latte Boy, and he's going to be playing trombone like you think he's singing.
Wow.
And one of my colleagues, a senior lecturer in Oregon at the University of Wisconsin Superior will be tinkling at the ivories. Even our poster, if you've seen it going around, it was designed by David Short, who is an assistant professor in art and design.
So, now, you're an opera singer by training.
Well, yes. I was in Bulgaria singing opera this summer, but I teach voice and I'm a music faculty at the Department of Music.
Well, you're singing From the King and I, which is not, you know, musical theater.
Yeah, I can do the musical theater, and I'm also doing...
But then the Carpenters.
The Carpenters tune, and I'm doing something from Man of La Mancha.
What are you singing from Man of La Mancha?
Dulcinea. Dulcinea, because it... And they're going to... The two are going to be going, making fun of me, as they do in the musicals. They make fun of Don Quixote because he has such a pure love, right?
But that's... So, okay, I'll be there and I'll cry.
So if you
loudly.
Go, though, I want to...
Cry loudly.
Warning tonight.
Warning,
I've been told,
warning.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. You know what that reference is.
Of course I do.
Nobody even knows that.
We're old.
Exactly. Shh. Oh, that's ageist. Sorry. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on tonight.
Okay.
The football game, parking lot, tailgating.
Right.
So also, I think there might be soccer. I'm not sure, but I remember seeing that there was another athletic event going on.
So come
and
early so you can find a place to park.
You will find a place to park, but if you're wandering in at 7:29, like typically can happen for some of our musical events,
right.
You might have some issues, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and there's a special you know, well, it's going to be quite special. We did our dress rehearsal last night, and we're all like going, we're so happy that we're doing this.
This really, is really, really, really exciting.
It's really cool. And thank you for giving this airtime. And thank
you.
Really appreciate you and your friendship and your support of this. It's super, super important. It takes a village.
And thanks for telling me about it, and thanks for stopping by my office because you always make my day.
Thank you.
Elias McCall of the UMD Music Faculty. Their concert tonight called Rainbow Connection kicks off at 7:30 Weber Music Hall.
Yes.
Weber Music Hall.
Fantastic.
Be there or be square.